Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we are talking about Maundy Thursday. Maundy from that Latin word mandatum, as you all know, right? Which means command. A new command I give you, Jesus says, to love one another, right? No longer the Ten Commandments, no longer the 613 rules. We're going to boil it down to one thing, to love. Love God, love others, love. And do so that others will know that I was real, that what I claimed to be, I really was, and that the changes that I have claimed to be able to create have actually taken place in you, my disciples, and that they will take place in the whole world if we have love. This week we were on vacation in northern Wisconsin, back in the home I grew up in, home my dad grew up in, home that my great-grandfather built as a cottage. I've talked about it many times in Wabino, Wisconsin. And they're busy days. I don't know how your vacations are, but it's not sitting in a chair by the lake reading a book all day. My parents retired last summer, and they've taken to remodeling the 80-year-old cottage, which means that the yard is mostly clay and mud, and there's piles of rocks that my mom wants moved to make flower beds. And there's windows that my grandfather installed that need to be replaced because they leak. And so it was a busy, busy week. And starting very early in the morning so I could get my run in and my prayer time, and then into the afternoon, the kids swimming in the lake, and then that we really wouldn't gather until the evening time. I don't know if that's kind of how your vacations are, but these are very special times for us. As we gather out on the glass porch, doesn't have much insulation, we don't use it in the winter. But there on that porch, very narrow, long table, and everybody gathers around that table. And not just our family, but my aunt and uncle from across the street, and my aunt and her family from two towns away, and my aunt from Fond du Lac drives up. And we invited the neighbor guy at the cottage two doors down, who was there for his first time since Texas, from Texas. And everybody gathers around that table, and we share our day and what happened, where did you see God, you know, what experiences did you have. And then after you get through the day, then the stories start to come out from past years of people who had gathered around that table long ago, who had long since passed. And then once in a while you start to get to dreams and looking at the future and what's going to be happening for you in the year to come until the next time we gather around that table. And we eat and we drink and we eat dessert and we watch the sun go down and shine off the water. And it's just a very warm, loving memories, lots of memories around that table. I'm sure you've had similar meals, and so that's what I want you to talk about for the next minute. Very memorable meals that you've had, or favorite, if you don't have a memorable meal, favorite foods. Just talk with your neighbor about memorable meals and favorite foods for a minute. Ready? Go. There are hundreds of meal narratives in the Bible, starting with Abraham and the three men who come to bring the message that he's going to be a blessing to all the nations, and he makes them a meal. He kills a calf and makes some cheese. Running all the way through Jesus, right, who gets in trouble all the time for doing what? Eating with tax collectors and sinners. And then you've got the disciples who after Jesus is gone, they don't give up meeting together. The breaking of the bread and the fellowship, they continue meeting together, and even into the book of Revelation. And we have the marriage feast of the Lamb, when and all the believers from all nations and tongues and tribes and colors and races gather together in a meal served by God in God's house around God's table. This narrative runs very, very strong through the Bible. And it's one of the reasons I love Maundy Thursday, is that it's not just us gathering. It's not just our story. It's the story of Israel. The Passover story that I shared with the children when they're led out of bondage in Egypt. And then into Exodus 24, which is our second reading for today. When they've gone out into the desert and things aren't going well. Right? And so many of the Israelites are like, why are we out here in the desert starving? Why don't we go back to Egypt where we had full meat pots? Right? Our bellies were full. Our crock pots were always on. There was always something in there. And here we are in the desert and we're starving. But God provides. And then you get this really neat account in Exodus 24. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord, and he rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in the basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. And then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And the Lord God did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. This is just a marvelous account for me as a parent, right? You have those times when your children know the house rules and they've broken the house rules. And you sit them down and you get to have that conversation about how, you know, your mother and I are disappointed in your behavior, and they try to cut you off. It'll never happen again, right? I promise, Matt. I promise, Mom. It'll never happen again. I know. I just wasn't thinking. It was an accident, right? And God has watched these people for several months now, wandering around the desert, making golden calves and worshiping other gods and cursing his name and wanting to return to Egypt. And he says, are you going to do it or aren't you? And they say, yes, God, we're sorry. It'll never happen again. It was an accident. We didn't mean it. We really want to live in your house by your rules. And you can see God as the all-knowing parent who says in the back of his mind, I know we're going to be having this conversation next week. But I love you, and I forgive you. And he puts his arms around him, and he welcomes him up on his mountain. He welcomes him into his presence, right? I mean, this flies in the face of everything you and I know, right? That nobody can see God and live, right? That God's awesomeness is too much for us to behold, and that if we're ever in the presence of God, we'll just die. And yet here Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders, they go up on the mountaintop. They beheld God and ate and drank, and he did not lay his hand on them. That God wants to have a very intimate and close relationship with us. God wants to eat with us. He wants to share stories with us. He wants to hear how our day went. He wants to hear about our dreams for the future. He wants to tell us about how he has blessed so many people in the past, and how one day he is going to usher us and them into their presence, as he did this week for Warren Schwemm, to be in the presence of God forever. And then Jesus comes and he does the same thing. He's got his disciples, he's walked with them, he's talked with them for 3 years, and he gets to this Passover. He says, this Passover, I've wanted to celebrate this Passover with you for such a long time. Not just waiting a year since the last Passover, not just waiting 3 years from the time that they walked together, not just waiting 33 years in his life on this earth, but for 1,500 years, God has been waiting to celebrate this Passover with his people so that they might understand that the lambs that they killed in Egypt wasn't about lambs. It was about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And sprinkling some blood on your door isn't about blood on the door, it's about obedience and trust. Are you going to do what God asks of you to do to live? And so there's Jesus standing at the door to the upper room, welcoming his disciples in, and there's Peter, right? Peter, within 6 hours, you're going to deny me 3 times. And there's Judas. Well, you know what you've done, Judas. You've already sold me out. Even now, the people that you've conspired with are planning to come and strip me, whip me, beat me, kill me. And yet there's a place for you at this table too. And I'm going to feed you. And then halfway through the meal, I'm going to get up and I'm going to get naked. I'm going to get honest with you. I'm going to put a towel around my waist. I'm going to get down on the floor and wash your feet. I'm going to turn everything on its head. Because I'm not a God who sits up on a mountaintop and waits for you to come up to me. I'm a God who comes down from the mountain, takes on humble form, and serves you. I'm a God who serves you. I love you that much. I am your Father. I want you to grow. I want you to feel my love. To know that you're not trapped by your past. To know that there's always a tomorrow. And so let's take a minute now and talk about how you have changed in the last 5 years. How God has grown you. Because 5 years is just a short amount of time in God's plan. But in your life, it's been a big, big change, isn't it? Talk with your neighbor. 1 minute. How has God changed you in the last 5 years? 2 months ago, when I let you know that I was going to be leaving, I also invited anybody who had unresolved tension with me to come and talk to me. And a lot of you kind of talked to me after the service and said, Pastor, that was strange. But a couple of you really took me up on the offer, and I appreciate that. Because this thing only works if we're walking in forgiveness. If every day we're assessing our relationships and saying, you know what, I can let that go. Or you know what, I can't let that go, and I really need to go talk to that person. I mean, this is what Jesus gives us. He gives us forgiveness from our sins, release from our past. Not that we forget it, but that we learn from it and we move forward into the future that He's prepared for us. And that over time, we do change and we do grow. And we get closer to Him, and there's times when we get further away from Him. But we learn about Him, we learn about ourselves, and we learn about others. So as we come forward today for communion, I've done some crazy things on Monday, Thursday, whether that be foot washing, or sometimes Pastor Tim and I will just be here to put water crosses on your forehead, kind of bookending Lent, where you get the ash cross at the beginning, you get the water cross at the end. And so today, I want you to do for each other what Christ has asked you to do. Not wash each other's feet. That would take too long. But to give the water blessing, the remembrance of baptism. So as you come forward for communion, I'll do this to the communion assistants, and then they'll do it to the first people, and then the first people, you turn around and do it to the next person behind you, and so forth and so on, until we get to the end, and then the last person will come forward and do to me and complete that circle. And what I want you to say as you dip your thumb in the water and make the sign of the cross in the forehead is that you are a forgiven child of God. Can you say that? You are a forgiven child of God. Okay. And we're going to finish this thing out. To the honor and glory of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.